In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Peter Cottontail, man, I told you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think you have an ally in our next guest with the bunny. I think he wants him to stay, too. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Elliot's going to join us here. Elliot Shore Park, sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth. See, that's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Let's get his take on the Eagles. Jalen Hurts, the positivity bunny, not the accountability. No, it's positivity bunny. And, of course, whatever the heck's going on with this season. Elliot with us, as he is every week. Elliot, how are we doing?
Man, I'm glad to hear Kyle is also an advocate of the positivity bunny by playing
right.
That song.
I'm so all
we need all the people we can get right now on that train.
Yeah, you do. Well, because it's been one week in, it didn't go great. All right, Elliot, let's address the big one first, and then we'll kind of unpack everything else. Elliot, this morning on the morning show, Nick Sirianni, I'm with the camera. Richie asked the question many are wondering, which is at some point, if this doesn't turn around, would the Eagles pull the plug on Jalen Hurts, put Tanner McKee in? Elliot, Nick Sirianni said the idea is ridiculous. Your reaction to the whole thing?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to bench Jalen Hurts. Now, do I actually think the idea that Nick thinks the idea is ridiculous? No. I mean, I think they watch the tape. They know what the flaws are in the offense, and they know the main issue right now, especially on Sunday or Monday, was Jalen Hurts. Like, the turnovers were why they lost that game. Now, Jalen, I also actually thought, did do some good things. I think you could argue it was their best offensive game of the year, minus the turnovers, which I understand that is like, how was the play besides that, Miss Lincoln? Like, I get it. But it was like a game where they moved the ball. So, no, I don't think they're going to bench Jalen, and they should not bench Jalen. It would be absurd to bench Jalen.
Elliot, what do you think it goes into a decision like this? I mean, you've covered the team for a long time now, and you've seen different elements. Now, this one is probably would be the biggest one, considering what he's accomplished here, and he still has a long-term deal. But, like, what do you think is, if they had a chart or a pie chart of this goes into it, that goes into it, how much just is, hey, he's not playing well, and the guy behind him could help us win versus all the other stuff that goes into a decision like this if we get closer to that?
I think a decision regarding benching Jalen Hurts would involve like Jeffrey Lurie, it would involve Howie Roseman, it would obviously involve Nick, but I think it's a decision that would have very little to do, honestly, with this season. I think if they bench Jalen, it's because they're comfortable moving on from him this offseason. I don't think they would ever bench Jalen in an attempt to save this year. If they were to bench him now, I think, and I don't think they will, to be clear, but if they were going to, I think it would be Jeffrey and Howie and Nick deciding that maybe they do want to see what Tanner McKee can be as their quarterback. And I think then you would probably see them trade Jalen this offseason. So if they were to make that type of decision, I think it is not one that would be made without Jeffrey Lurie being very involved.
All right, next one I have for you, just based on the way you answered that, independent of the idea of benching him now, just move that aside. What percentage would you put on Jalen Hurts being the Eagles starting quarterback in 2026 as of right now?
I would put it at 93%. I was going to say 92, but I went down a percent. Like, I think that there is a chance they trade Jalen just because the contract thing is going to be a thing this offseason. Jalen Hurts is in line for a new contract. He's arguably in line for a raise. I know that's tough to hear now because he's not playing well. But, you know, he didn't get a new contract after he won the Super Bowl. Nick got one. You know, other people in the organization got one. Saquon got a thank you check. Like, Jalen didn't get that, right?
Thank you check is crazy.
Jalen has the ability this offseason to go to them and say, it's my turn, right? If you look at where he ranks around quarterbacks in the league. And if they decide at that point they don't feel like cutting him, you know, a new $100 million check, then I think you could potentially see them explore or see Jalen's camp explore if other teams are willing to pay him that. So that's why I would say, yeah, like 93% he's the guy.
Elliot, you mentioned at the start here you thought that you saw some good things amidst the turnovers on Monday night, and they moved the ball and they had a decent amount of yardage. Obviously, the points weren't there, mostly because of the turnovers. But what did you see you liked, and what do you think that was? Was that just a good night? Did you see changes and different things on the offense that we might continue to see? Because obviously, Sirianni's hands in the offense, that was reported, was before this game, and it's yeah, I got to put those two things together and think he's part of why it looked a little bit different this week.
So I actually, in terms of the schematic stuff, I don't know how much Nick actually changed. You know, doing the Jordan Mailata show last night, he did, Mailata brought up that they did some stuff in the running game that he feels encouraged about moving forward. I didn't actually leave the game feeling like as great about the running game as other people. They obviously had that one run that was kind of on a trick play. Outside of that, they had some good stuff early on, but in the second half, they didn't run it well. What I really came away encouraged with was the passing game. Like, I think the pass protection has gotten way better since it was in the beginning of the year. I thought it was very good on Monday night. It wasn't perfect. There were certainly some snaps you can point to where they allowed pressure, but I thought they were very good. I thought Jalen had time in the pocket, and I thought Jalen made some throws that he doesn't normally make, like anticipation throws into windows of the field where it's not man coverage. It's not just a hitch throw. It's not a, you know, a deep pass down the sideline, like throws into areas of the field with anticipation you don't normally see him make. So that was encouraging. And also, I will say, like, if you want to talk about big picture with that game, I don't think it should go unnoticed, or I think it's important that when they had to have it late, right? Like, for the most part, he made big throws when they had to have it, like the game-tying field goal. He brought them down the field in overtime. Now, obviously, he made the huge mistake at the end, and that is certainly noteworthy. But, like, I thought that if you want to feel encouraged about the rest of the year, I still think when this team has to have it, they're probably going to get it.
Elliot Shore Parks with us here as we unpack whatever the heck happened Monday night and look forward to this weekend against the Las Vegas Raiders. All right, Elliot, your thought now as they get back to work this week, because now they've put themselves in a difficult spot where they can't just expect the Cowboys to lose games. You know, their toughest game is probably over. The Lions lost last week. They have the Vikings. They have the Chargers at home, and they play the Commanders and Giants. So the Cowboys going 4-0 is certainly possible. I would say 3-1 is probably more likely, but I don't think they're going to get much more help from the Cowboys, which means they have to win games.
Yeah.
Elliot, how do you expect them to respond? I mean, it's a 3-game losing streak, and now this is where, if they're going to save their season, it has to start Sunday.
Yeah, I think these next two games will essentially decide their season. I think you got to go 2-0 in these next two games, and that obviously starts by beating the Raiders on Sunday. The Raiders are the worst team in the NFL. This isn't like a bad team. Like the Giants, for example, when they played the Giants on Thursday night, they were a bad team. But you could point and go, Jackson Dart has, you know, been interesting. At that point, Cam Scadaboo was helping the offense. Like they were maybe a sneaky good team, even though having a bad record. They had a good defensive line. There is nothing on the Raiders that is sneaky good. They have two good players, obviously, in Max Crosby and Brock Bowers. But outside of that, there is nothing to be concerned about. So not only do they have to win on Sunday, I think they got to go out and show that the encouraging things that happened on Monday night, like the offense playing well, like the defense playing well, that they can start to string together some good games. Because we have seen at times this year them play well. They were, you know, he had the perfect passer rating against the Vikings. They played good against the Giants. They didn't play great in the Lions or Packers game, but they got wins there, right? They just haven't been able to get consistency going. So I really think these next two games, like if they go 2-0 in these next two games, I'll feel pretty good about where they're at heading into the playoffs.
Elliot, how much blame do you assign to AJ on Monday night? He's been getting beat up a lot, but our callers, I feel like some of it is just kind of a defense mechanism for Jalen, because obviously he's the one getting beat up the most. He did have drops. I'm curious your perspective on the three of them, because I thought they were all distinct, all hurt the team in different ways, right? The first one to start the game where he just, it felt the ball was like a little bit past his fingertips, almost had it. the second one that went off his hands for an interception, and then the last one where I thought he had it, and then I thought the corner made a good play to kind of chop his arm, and then it came loose. What was your perspective on those three, and how much fault he deserves for Monday?
So I thought AJ had the exact same game Jalen had, like just as bad, right? Big time mistakes that really hurt them. And then also made big plays late too, to potentially almost win them the game. But when you look at those three drops, I mean, I think the second one, the one that led to the interception, he does have to, like, you should make that catch. I thought that was a really bad throw by Jalen.
It was like wobbly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, not only that, it was high. Yeah. It was like borderline behind him. Like it was, you could almost argue it was a really good job by AJ to even get his hands on the ball. Like it was a really poor throw. Now I know people have said, well, you know, like he's got alligator arms, he's looking for contact. Like maybe, but I also don't know if I can really blame him. I mean, he could have been seriously hurt if he didn't try to protect himself with how he had to expose, you know, his body to even come close to that. So that one I don't really put on him, but I do think the first drop of the game is probably the biggest of the three, just because I think this team so badly needs things to start going their way, and they so badly need momentum. And they talked all week about the attitude on the sideline not being great. AJ catches that first pass, and I think there's a decent chance the game plays out almost completely differently. So the one in the end zone late was a good defensive play. I still think that's a pretty bad drop. Like he should have brought that in. But I thought the first drop of the game was like really hurtful to this team.
It hurt. I agree with you. It changed the tenor of the game. Art Elliott, I'd be remiss not to ask to end this after last week with our debate. Can you give us your updated NFC power rankings after week number 14?
Yeah, so I did release them this morning, and the Eagles definitely took a fall. They went from number one to number two. So I think they're number two in the NFC right now. I would still put them ahead of the Packers, the Lions, the Bears, the Seahawks for sure. The Seahawks remain frauds. Again, like, the Eagles are not playing well, but everything I said last week still holds true. I still think they're going to be tough to beat in the playoffs, and I still think they have a quarterback and head coach that I would take over every single quarterback head coach in a playoff game right now besides McVay and Stafford because of how they're playing. So I put them at number two.
I do appreciate your commitment to the Seahawks or frauds thing. Because even, I mean, they're probably, what, like 12-point favorites on Sunday against the quarterbackless Colts? They're going to be 11-3, and you don't even have them as a top-five team in the conference.
They don't have one solid win. And I can't believe we're doing the exact same thing that we did with the Vikings last year. Last year, all I heard was, they're actually really good. The Vikings are actually really good. And then Sam Darnold, as he always does, didn't play well in the playoffs. The Seahawks are just this year's Vikings. I would welcome the Seahawks to Philadelphia if that ends up being the 4-5 matchup, if that's where the Eagles end up.
I think that would be the best for content, I'll tell you that much, because it just after all our conversations all year. And I hear your point on maybe they are this year's Vikings. They're going to win 14 games and maybe go out in the first round. That could happen. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on as always, and we will see you Sunday. I'm sure it's going to be one more thing before you go. I'm sure we'll talk about the Sunday in the pregame show. What do you think the atmosphere is going to be like in the building? Because I keep thinking about that with Jalen and the crowd. Like, if they get off to a good start and they win, obviously everyone's happy, right? But, like, if it's choppy early, how do you think it's going to feel like in that building Sunday?
We know what it's going to feel like. It's going to be really, really ugly. I mean, honestly, I think the Eagles are better off playing on the road right now. Like, I think they would be better off going to Las Vegas than they would be playing at home. Fans are really frustrated with this team right now. If they go 3-and-out in the first drive, you know it's going to be ugly. I mean, we saw it the last time they were at home. They're not playing well enough right now where I think they can deal with an Eagles home crowd. So they'll be at home. And look, they're playing the Raiders, so maybe it'll be bad. Maybe like they will play well, which will help. But yeah, if I'm the Eagles, I would much rather be going to Vegas.
Yeah, they might feel the same way. Elliot, we appreciate it, and we'll see you Sunday at the pregame show.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys then.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Park's precipitous fall by the Eagles in his power rankings to number two.
How will they ever recover?
In the NFC.
Yeah, they gotta do a lot to bounce back from that.
Yeah, to get back up to one.
Well, at least we're number two.
I mean, two's pretty good.
I mean, Super Bowl's back on.
Yeah, everything's back on. 215-592-9495. Before we go any further, we got a lot going on the show today, right? Jason Avant's going to join us for the lunch hour coming up at from 12 to 1. We'll hear from Nick Sirianni later on. I'm sure he'll be peppered with questions about the quarterback's job security. We'll get to you people and all that stuff later on. But don't forget what we have going on, you know, every day around here on this show.
It's here's how it is stuck.
First of all, you look like a big old candy cane.
Yes, that is the sounder you're listening for. All right, so between now and the conclusion of our show today, the next time you hear that sounder, it is your chance to play What's in Hugh's Holiday Stocking, presented by Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey and Gerhard's Appliances. All right, later on today, someone will be playing for...
some lucky individual.
That's right. Jack Daniel's rocks glasses, the umbrella, the golf tee pack, the playing cards, and a Weber grill brush courtesy of Gerhard's Appliances. And if you win today, automatically enter for the grand prize, which includes the Weber grill courtesy of Gerhard's Appliances, Jack Daniel's Yeti cooler, and the Jack Daniel's cornhole set. So later on today, we will find out. Keep listening. And when you hear the sounder call in to find out what's in your stock. So what's been in there already? We had Frank Sinatra.
Beef jerky.
Beef jerky.
No, it wasn't beef jerky. Yeah.
No, what was it?
It was a glizzy.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. It was a glizzy, Frank Sinatra,
David Copperfield.
And eggnog.
Eggnog.
You watched that stocking out?
Yeah.
Kind of gross.
That sounds like a greasy stocking.
Sounds disgusting.
It sounds weird when you say it like that, though.
That thing probably stinks.
Yeah. Yeah. Get that glizzy out of there. All right. Let's go back to the phone lines. OG Wade is up on WIP. Hey, OG.
What up, OG?
What's up? What's up, brothers? How we feeling today?
OG, what's going on?
I want to bring a little resolve here. I'm trying to, and Joe, you're not wrong in what you're saying and how you feeling. Now, let me say this. Jalen Hurts. And when you say that, Jalen, this is a Carson Wentz to Jalen Hurts thing, it's not. When we had Carson Wentz, we were 4-12. You know what I'm saying? We have never had a losing record with Jalen at the quarterback position. So that being said, so all the things that you were saying about other quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers was 8-9 in his last year with the Packers, and they weren't looking good. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So there's reasons why those teams moved on from their guy. Now, it's premature to bench him right now, I would say. Now, if he has a game like that on Sunday, absolutely it's bench-worthy. You know what I'm saying? But in the large in part, what Jalen Hurts has given this city, not this city, but this team, is two Super Bowls appearances, one win, entire calendar year without losing a game, and now you're 8-5. So he played his worst game of his career on Sunday and still had an opportunity for us to win that game. Now, that being said, he's got to play much better. But in order for him to play better, when you keep saying it's the team, right, it's the team that has to play better. Jalen Hurts can't be what we know him to be with Nick Sirianni, Jeffrey Lurie, and everybody caving into the media criticism of how simple we were. We are. Do you realize the last two teams that beat us the way that we've been beating teams, running the ball, not putting the ball in harm's way? This is people that literally took our damn recipe and used it against us, and we out here trying to be what other teams want us to be, and we're losing now. This team, Joe, Jalen Hurts has been very truthful, and he said this. He said to the reporter, and for our identity, we have to choose it and commit to it.
Mm-hmm.
Choose an identity. Rather, they want to be a passing team or a running team. Just choose one and commit to it.
Well, I think they should be a running team. OG, I agree with that. There's been no identity this year. They've struggled to find it. It feels like they're trying to do one to set up the other. OG, good phone call. I do agree with OG that it's not the same as when they were a bad football team under Carson Wentz. I was just trying to paint that they've pulled the plugs on quarterbacks before that have been had a lot of money owed to them, right?
No, so, I got what you were saying.
Yeah.
It's
not the same. That was a bad year. One quick thing, though, on benching quarterbacks, and this is not an Eagles thing. This is a pro football thing. I mean, Bill Walsh once sat Joe Montana in the middle of a playoff game to put in Steve Young, who hadn't even done much in the NFL yet. It was Joe Montana. Joe Montana had won Super Bowls.
You know what? The difference is the ramifications are greater now than they were back in the day.
In terms of money?
Yeah. But this is the one.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One part of the game that we tend to forget as fans, because we look at it as simple as, oh, put Tanner McKee in, get him ready to go. It's not that simple.
But
it's like everything, just like, for example, people feel like we've forced the offense, we've shoehorned A.J. Brown into the offense more.
I think we have.
To make him happy.
I think we have.
Okay, and why is that? Not because A.J. is the better receiver. It's because A.J. makes the most money. You see what I'm saying? And we gave Saquon the most money. We gave Saquon all that money. And we talk about Tank Bigsby being back there and running better, but he ain't making as much money.
Couldn't I make the case all these decisions are bad ones? So why are we going to keep making bad decisions?
You can, but they're financial ones.
I know. I just think the Eagles have shown us the financial isn't as important as we think it is. They'll do what's best for the team.
Well, they will, but not this year. Because here's the thing, and take Jalen's face off of it. You're putting $50 million on the bench for $2 million. Financially, that makes no sense.
But don't they have to look the team in the eye and say we're putting the best guy in the field?
And everybody knows that, but we also understand, or they understand, that there's a monetary value pointed to that. Okay, for example, Jordan Mailata. Shout out to Jordan, because Jordan feels bad about the way the team is playing, and you know, I commend him for that, because he feels that. He cares.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan's not playing well. Putting Jordan on the bench.
Is there a better
option?
I will answer you. If they have a better option, yes. I will bench anyone if the guy behind them could help the team more.
The point that I'm making is this. Even if that was the case, the money going to play. It has to play.
I disagree. I mean, I don't think the Eagles operate like that as much as you think they do.
Everybody operates
like that,
Joe. I don't think
they do.
Every team operates like that.
Hold on. Didn't last year's Eagles sit Bryce Huff down? They gave him the most money of any player last offseason.
That was a Vic Fangio thing more so than an organizational thing.
Yeah, I just think the Eagles, they took the biggest cap hit in NFL history at that time to get Carson Wentz out of here.
Also, like, Fangio did it, but Howie Rosen
was not happy.
I would assume it was also an organizational thing. They had to decide to cut their losses on that enormous contract.
They pay, like, this is what happened.
And they knew by doing that they would have to get rid of him.
They got Bryce before they got Vic. And when Vic got here, it was
Vic was here first.
Is that what it was? Yeah. So, okay. But still, he didn't sign off on that one.
Yeah.
I believe he didn't sign off on that.
My point is the Eagles have shown they will do – the money doesn't – it's not the driving force of every decision. Otherwise, they don't move off of Carson for Jalen. I mean, that would have never happened if that's the way they operate. Let's go to Aaron in San Diego. What's up, Aaron?
Good morning, Philadelphia.
What's up, Aaron?
Aaron, what's up?
You all right? Did you sleep well?
Yeah, where's the good morning?
I'm sick. I wasn't going to call, but Joe is actually – I mean, I'm losing my mind here listening to Joe.
Okay.
You know, hey, by the way, Hugh, we did have some TJ Glizzy's at the outside the stadium. They're Tijuana dogs. They got bacon-wrapped hot dogs. You throw some grilled onions and peppers on there. And then you got mustard, ketchup, and mayonnaise. It is something special, my friend.
Sounds like quite a glizzy, Aaron.
Yeah, with the bacon glizzy.
The boys love it. But listen, Joe Giglio, were you there on Monday night?
No, Aaron.
Were you there to witness what happened on Monday night?
It's televised.
Yeah, I saw every
in
play.
In case you didn't know that.
Every single play.
I was there.
Okay.
I sat up top.
And you don't know what the hell you're looking at, be honest.
Okay? You guys want to go after Jalen Hurts. And Joe, let me ask you a question. Would you rather have Justin Herbert or would you rather have Jalen Hurts?
Herbert.
that just shows how narrow-minded and the tunnel vision that you have.
Aaron, let me ask before Aaron. Hold on. How many executive, how many general managers in the NFL do you think would choose Hurts over Herbert right now?
Judging from the last playoff experience each player had, where Justin Herbert threw four interceptions and fell apart against the Houston Texans.
Wow, imagine throwing four interceptions.
I would rather have the player that went to two Super Bowls in 3 years and won a Super Bowl MVP.
The team! Why is this so hard? You're on hold. Like, we are smarter than this. The team went to two Super Bowls in 3 years. Was Jalen Hurts a part of that? Clearly.
He was a leader.
He was clearly part of it. And he was a bigger part in 22 when he was almost the MVP of the league. But he was a part of it. When we say he went to, you are discrediting every other player on the team. That's like saying when you watch the game Monday, boy, that Justin Herbert must have no pocket presence. No, because you watch the game and you realize he has people that should be not playing in the league, blocking for him. So it's not his fault, obviously, right? Just like this year, Saquon Barkley's had poor blocking. It's contributed to why they haven't run the ball as much. I mean, there's a context to all of this. Aaron, I don't believe there's a single NFL executive that would take Hurts over Herbert right now. And I think if Howie Roseman presented the option, he would swap him in a minute. Go ahead, Aaron.
Listen, this is a broken offense right now, okay? And this is a game of inches. I'm going to tell you something. We have a $30 million receiver who's supposed to be a 50-50 receiver. And I'll tell you something. Puka Nacua, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, they are making those catches that are going to turn the game around and make...
See, Taylor this is
Hurt.
Why, Aaron, this is why you're a fraud. What you just said, you're a fraud. You know why? Because why can't we just drop the crap and be honest? You just said something totally fair. Aaron, you said something totally fair. I respect it, Aaron. Because you know why? You were honest for a second. You said Puka Nacua makes that catch. Justin Jefferson makes that catch. But when it comes to Jalen Hurts, nobody can get out of their damn feelings and say the truth. Hold on. Justin Herbert's a better quarterback, Aaron. Just like Puka Nacua is a better wide receiver. With the quarterback, we can't get out of our feelings. But with the wide receiver, we say the truth. Aaron, it's okay to say the truth. Aaron, Puka Nacua,
Joe,
Puka Nacua is Puka Nacua. No, stop. Stop. Puka Nacua is better than A.J. Brown, Aaron. You know why? Because we have eyes. Aaron Rodgers, when he was a great quarterback, is better than whatever the hell Jalen is now. And Justin Herbert's better. And Josh Allen's better. Half the league is better right now. Why can't you just say the truth on the quarterback, but on all the other players, we say the truth?
Why? Because the positives in that game were taken away from the quarterback. He threw two dimes to his wide receiver, and the guy dropped the ball.
Yeah. So you won't answer the question. I'm done. This is not hard. It's not hard. We do it with everybody else, but with the quarterback of the Eagles, we lie. Everybody else, who's better, Shohei Ohtani or Aaron Rodgers? Or Bryce Harper? Shohei Ohtani just rolls off the tongue. But with Jalen Hurts, oh, we got to defend him. He's our quarterback. Shut up. Shut up, Aaron. My God. It's so ridiculous.
Wow. Everyone's seeing the light on Aaron in San Diego.
I mean, shut up, man. Like, I'm done. I can't.
When your biggest ally telling you shut up.
I can't do the phone call. Well, Puka Nacua makes the catch. Yes. Don't you see the irony of what you're saying? Puka Nacua makes the catch, and Josh Allen doesn't play like that. Don't you see the same thing? Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard?
Are you asking me now? Why is it hard?
I'm asking anyone.
I would say the reason why, Joe, is because, number one, you can't, like, I know we do this a lot, but you can't separate.
Yes, Jaylen's I can. Success. Yes, I can. No, I can't.
You cannot separate.
Hugh, I can.
No, you can't.
I can.
You can't. That's not right. That's how it's never been
but
done.
But guess what? It's over. That time in football is out.
That's why people get upset. And that's why people get upset when they hear that, because you separate. You can't do that.
I am and I will.
Has been to two Super Bowls.
Hold on a second. If Tanner McKee comes in on Sunday and they win the game, is Tanner McKee now a winner?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm done. No, he's just playing.
Joe, this is... Listen.
They've won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles and Jalen Hurts. Does anyone see the irony here?
And people call Nick Foles a winner.
But the irony is, it's about the team.
No, but Joe...
It's not about the quarterback.
This is the irony for me, Joe, is that... It's been like that forever. for a lot of people.
I don't care. We just got to use our brains. They don't win, Joe, because the quarterback. Joe, right now, he's holding them back.
Joe, it is. It's always been like that, regardless of if you like it or not. Wasn't Tom Brady the reason why Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl?
He played great.
No, but Joe, my point is this. Tom Brady was the quarterback, right? And I know Tom Brady and Jalen are in two different stratospheres. But he's still the quarterback of the team. The only person that I think of that comes to mind when you think of when you push back, when they say is the quarterback of the team, is Trent Dilfer.
Yeah, I think there's way more than that, man. I think there's way more.
Maybe Brad Johnson.
I think there's way more.
Maybe Brad Johnson, but outside of those two, like even with Brad Johnson, he made plays. I'm just trying to tell you, Joe, that's how it works. It's been like that forever.
Right. I know FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. It's the number one sports book in same game parlays. From points and rebounds to threes and assists, FanDuel is the best place to combine your favorite picks into a same game parlay or track every stat live on one easy to use app. Right now is the perfect time to join because new customers get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So bet on the players you love the way you want. Head to FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to sign up today. FanDuel, official sports betting part of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94 WIP.
Kyle, he going to stand up before we leave today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.